You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul, the art of better living. This segment of Art and Soul is about looking at life from the inside. Perspective, mindfulness, self-awareness, and living a better, balanced, happy life. This is Lisa Berry, and our guest this week holds a PhD in psychology from Harvard University, is the author of 6 books, and a lecturer at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business, Dr. Robert Pasek. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about self-awareness.
Well, I think the key to self-awareness is by emotional intelligence, it's sort of, I guess there's 4 parts of it. You know, how well we get ourselves, that's the self-aware part. How well do we understand ourselves, who we are? Another part is how well do we get other people? And that's, do we sympathize? Do we empathize? Do we understand? Can we get people? And people are all different. So do we understand who people are? A third piece is, how do we manage ourselves? So how do we manage one-on-one relationships? Are we empathetic? Are we able to deal with interpersonal relationships on a one-to-one basis? Intimacy is another way we think about that. But all day long, we have one-on-one relationships, whether it's with the clerk at CVS or with our person we live with, or even with our dogs. You know, we have one-on-one relationships. And then how well do we manage in more of a group-type relationship? So that's, you know, how well do we manage in a work setting, or in a setting where there's multiple people, like a church or a school? And then, you know, another, I guess, underlying all that is, how well do we manage our emotions? And that's why it's called emotional intelligence. So you see some people that are always losing their temper or never seem to say anything. They're always like one mood. And other people that are overly joyous, and you wonder, like, well, what happened to you? You know, so
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, I'll have what she's having, exactly. And I think that's what emotional intelligence is all about. And I try to teach that in my work. I try to enhance it. A lot of people are never exposed to the idea that there is such a thing as emotional intelligence. They think there's intellectual intelligence, there's competency, but what the heck is emotional intelligence?
Isn't that what self-awareness is, though? The more self-awareness you have, the better you'll be at all those things you just talked about.
I think it's the foundation. I mean, if you think about it as a pyramid, the self-awareness is the bottom pyramid. And all the time we meet people who just don't seem to get themselves at all. They get their sense of identity from TV or from the bar or from a team they're on or a team they root for. So they really don't have a self, you know, in terms of who am I and what am I all about. So I think, yeah, that is the key. It's the foundation to a lot of it.
But this is a class you teach at the University of Michigan.
Last few years, I've been teaching a class on interpersonal relationships, and I have about 100 students a semester, 50 of them at the Ross School of Business. And those are undergraduates, and then another 50 at the College of Engineering at the University of Michigan, and those are 50 graduate students. So it's pretty interesting. A lot of these kids have never been exposed to it. They've been exposed to, what do you do for your career? Everything is about, what is your career? And they get tracked very early. You know, you're going to go to work in consulting, or you're going to work in finance. And you ask them, well, what is a great life? And they say, well, a great life is getting a job in finance. You know, well, what about the rest of your life? And that's the kind of thing I get them to talk about.
I think when people hear University of Michigan, Ross School of Business, they are thinking of practical skills. But these are lifestyle skills.
Well, I think that a lot of this does start at home, but many of the kids that I work with have rough homes. I mean, they come from broken homes. I have several kids who have lost parents at a young age, several kids that have grown up kind of rough, kids that are wealthy, but they've also grown up in, you know, not the most loving environment. So you get some of it at home, but I don't believe, you know, that old book about everything you should know you learned in kindergarten. I don't think a lot of us are fortunate enough to have families that taught us everything we knew before we went off to school. So the learning has to continue. And what I try to do is create a sense of community among my students so that they begin to know each other. The final assignment, one of them, you have to know everybody's name in the class.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm horrible at names. But well, I know your name. We're talking to Dr. Robert Pasek. This is Art and Soul, the Art of Better Living. And I'm looking at your book, Self-Aware, A Guide for Success in Work and Life. Page 46, I'm just thumbing through, says, is your thinking making you miserable?
Ah, that's a great one. Yeah, a lot of, have you ever heard of the term cognitive behavioral therapy?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So a lot of the idea of that, and I'm a psychologist, so I practiced this for my whole career, which is over 40 years at this point. But the whole idea is that we learn many ideas when we're young that are pretty dysfunctional and irrational. You know, for one of the examples is, I must do perfectly well at everything I do. And if I don't, I'm a failure. So, you know, that's irrational. How can you do perfectly well at everything you do? Or, I can't stand it when people don't treat me right. Well, if you're going to go through life not standing it every time people cut you off on the freeway or don't put you at the front of the line or don't smile at you when you're passing them in the hallway, you're going to be pretty miserable. But it's your thinking that's making you miserable, not those people. So the idea, it's what's between your head and how you interpret stuff, not exactly what the stuff is. So, you know, there's a bumper sticker. I won't say the word, but something makes you happens, right?
Right. Stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's true, but I think this goes back to Greek philosophy, but it's how you think about the stuff that happens that determines how well you're going to do in life and how happy you're going to be.
It's not what happens. It's your reaction to what happens.
Yeah. Now, obviously, in extreme, if you're dealt terrible blows and you're in pain all the time, that's real. But a lot of the things that make us miserable are just slights. They're personal kinds of things that we take offense at. I use the word perspective a lot.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, and we live in a community here in Ann Arbor and Ipsy, which is pretty pretty upper echelon. You know, we take things for granted. You know, for example, water, you know, we've been following that story.
Right.
But there's a lot of people in the world that don't have those things, that don't have clean water, that don't have access to nice housing. And if we keep perspective and we look at the things that are getting us upset, we think, well, wait a minute, why are we getting so distraught about these things when there's a lot worse things happening in the world?
Is that where gratitude comes in?
It is. And one of the things I teach the kids is to keep, I call it an abundance journal.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be called a gratitude journal. I started this about 30 years ago. And every day I have a little book that I carry. I have one page per day, I should say. And I write down just the positive things that have happened to me in that day. So it could be anything like a nice sunrise or great cup of coffee or somebody said, hey, you look good today, or
I had a great radio interview.
A great radio interview. You'll make my list today.
Oh, awesome.
Lisa,
you'll be on mine for sure.
But, you know, when you start to look at that and you have to think every day what was good, and I don't write anything negative in it. I don't allow myself to write anything negative. And that, to me, is kind of like positive thinking, searching for the good things in your life, seeking them out. Not that everything is great, but there's always a lot of good things happening in life if we get attuned to it. And I try to teach a meditation, which is kind of a cool thing that most of them don't know. And I don't mean a fancy religious kind of thing, but just pausing and taking stock and
breathing.
Being quiet, breathing, that's a good thing. Putting down the phone.
Do you think you can change people? Can people change?
Absolutely. I think they can change. But there's the old adage, they really want to change. And the other thing is they have to know they need to change. I think we see people today that think they are perfect. They think they're God's gift, or they're not God themselves.
Right.
And they don't see any need for change. Everybody else needs to change. So I think you have to kind of have humility and say, you know what, I'm not perfect. I know there may be a God, but I'm not it. And I'm not him, I'm not her, whatever you believe in. And so I can always get myself better. And I think with that attitude, people can change. They do.
And that's where self-awareness comes
there
in.
There you go.
Self-aware, a guide for success in work and life. Robert Pasek, thank you so much for joining us.
What a pleasure.
On 89.1 WEEI.
I've been a supporter for over 40 years.
Hey,
so,
we really appreciate that.
Great.